use data, facts, figures, ask them to explain it from their perspective, from all directions, bring up those different scenarios, make them talk through all the things that they've already thought about because they know they have. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. And I see Lane over there. Lane, what's happening? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Rob. How are you today?
Yeah, good. Week going all right? You're probably selling like crazy over there. You don't even know what to do with yourself anymore, right?
Words can't describe, Rob.
Well, that's good. Well, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, let's see. The other day I was talking to someone. They kept asking me for more information. The more I gave her, the more she asked for. I found myself wanting to say, don't you have enough already? What more do you need? Jeez. So not only that, but she was very, very serious. There was absolutely no joking around with her. It was a little intimidating.
All right. Well, that's interesting. That sounds like that potentially could be the dreaded C personality. And I say dreaded, I mean that nicely for all the C's out there, right? And I think, Lane, you're a little bit of a C sometimes. So I think I should be careful and tread lightly, right? So
yeah, you might be on the spectrum too there, Rob.
possibly. Well, if you haven't encountered a C, or if you have encountered a C and have not been able to figure them out, don't know exactly how to handle them, you kind of get into the weeds with them and you're like, oh boy, we need to figure out how to get out of this. Well, guess what? You're in for a treat because today's episode is going to be all about how to sell to a C personality. And by the way, if you're new here, I'm Rob.
And I'm Lane.
And today we're going to talk about how to sell to a C personality. Let's get started.
This is the Slow Pitch Podcast.
Before we get too far, I probably should say that C's are a bit of an interesting animal, let's say.
Of course we are.
Yes, of course we are. So they can be a little difficult to understand. They're hard to get to know, particularly if you don't put a little time in to get to know them. But fortunately for people that are listening, we have two of them as hosts. So right here, right now, you got two C personalities.
This is going to be interesting.
Yes, it is. This should be really interesting and might be boring for a lot of people. You know, the D personalities or even the I personalities are probably going to be like, oh, good Lord, is there another episode I can listen to? Something else I can, like, this is like watching paint dry, you know, that could be, I don't know.
Well, I'm a little worried here, Rob, because I'm afraid of what I'm going to hear about myself. And I'm sure it's very true.
Yeah. And you should be afraid. Be very, very, very afraid. And today, what we are going to talk about is, you know, we're going to start with some of the DISC stuff and then we'll get into what a C personality is, how to talk to a C, how to sell to a C, the basics of selling when you know you're in front of a C personality, because it's a little bit different than the stuff that we've been talking about for the other ones. So I have a question for you, Lane. When you started the conversation, what were they like? And by that, I mean, when you spoke to them, were they slower in speech or faster in speech?
Well, I'm just thinking about myself here real fast. So I just answer the phone. Yeah. So now I'm going to overanalyze this now.
Yeah, there you go. You're thinking too hard. There's the indication of a C. So yes. So this person was probably a little bit of a slow to get started. You asked him a question. And when you asked her a question, did she start to say, let me think about that. Did she ever do some of those types of things?
Yeah, more than once.
Yeah, than once. I would imagine. All right. So, you know, there's a part of me that when we kind of started talking in the beginning here, that it sounded like, you know, you got somebody that asking for a whole bunch of information. And that's not unusual when you're in a sales call anyway, because nothing better when you're trying to buy something than to get somebody to give you all the free information you can, right? So if I want to learn about how to make a website, I'm going to start asking you a whole bunch of questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? And when I do that, yep, I'm really just trying to get information from you, right? So was it that kind of a scenario where she was asking all these questions and more information, or was it something more than that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot about, you know, what about this? What about that? If we did this, what are the repercussions for that? So it was just very in depth.
Okay. So one tip I would always give to anybody is when somebody starts asking you questions, if they ask you a question, make sure you understand what they're asking you and why they're asking you that question. So as a C, it's really one of those traits that you have as a C to be able to ask, why are you doing that? And we're going to get into those types of things. But the more that you understand the why behind the question that they're asking, the better you can answer the right question. One time I was in a call and they had asked me a question and I started to answer their question and I realized, this actually, they could mean two different things here. I'm not sure what they mean. So I stopped and I just asked them another question back and said, just so that I'm on the same page. Sometimes when I hear that question, I think I hear this as a potential reason why you're asking, or the other thing that comes out is it's this that you're asking. Is it one of those or is it neither of those? And I found out that particular time that what I thought was the answer was actually the wrong direction. That was not what they were looking for. And so I would rather know that ahead of time and earlier so that I could prevent having to even answer the question, because I don't have to, and I'm not a good fit. So I would rather just rule them out and disqualify them because it was not something that I could do from a sales perspective. But if they were going the other way, I could have at least asked some more questions and gotten some more detail. So I ask that question, and I suggest to people, when you hear people asking you questions, before you answer it, always make sure you understand why they're asking that question of you.
That's kind of a tough practice to be in, though, to turn a question around on someone when, you know, they ask you a question and to go, well, why are you asking me that? And I know you have to be a little more smooth than that. I'm just throwing it out there, but you know, how do you really get to a point where you can smoothly do that?
You would be surprised. It's not as difficult as you think, because if you come across as asking the question, like you're genuinely trying to figure out what are they asking? Sometimes I just am confused. Sometimes the other day I had a conversation with somebody and I said, I'm sorry, I don't quite understand what you're asking me, because I'm, you know, maybe I didn't hear you right or I didn't understand you correctly. Can you rephrase that a different way? And they just said it a different way. And I went, okay, now I know what they're talking about. Another time that I asked the question in a slightly different way and basically just said, I'm not sure I understand. Are you asking me if it does X or if it does Y? And once I asked that, then we started to get into the nitty-gritty of what they were asking me. And then you can actually answer the right question. It's really about making sure, and if you're genuine in asking the question, it's really about making sure that you are answering their question the correct way. So always think about it as not just re-questioning them or turning the question back around on them. It's more about understanding what their question is so that you're actually going to be able to answer their question. But it does two things. You can answer their correct question, but it also lets you know their motivation behind their question so that you can now dig into that a little further.
So I guess just turn around and saying, hey, you know, rephrasing their question and did I hear you correctly? That's not, while it demonstrates you understand what they're asking, you're not going to get the motivation from them at that point.
Potentially. Was there a question in there that I was supposed to answer?
Very good. Very good.
So... But yes, you're correct. When you go to down that route, you may not understand the motivation. If you don't understand, that's why you would ask the question back. So we went through that so that we could better understand what their questions are and why they're asking it. And now that we know that it wasn't about them trying to get more information out of us, it was just because they're a high C, it sounds like. And because they're a high C, they've got to know more answers to more questions before they can make their full decision. And that's really what a C is all about. People who are Cs are often referred to, particularly with the DISC profile, as very analytical. They're very logical. They think way more than they probably should. They are perfectionist. The reason they call them the high Cs or their C personalities is because it's based on they're very conscientious. They're very compliant oriented, meaning they're very aware of all the elements that can go in. And they want to make sure that they analyze all those pieces, all the possible outcomes before they make any sort of decision or before they know what they're going to be doing next. Does that make sense? So that's why they came up with that high C thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, it makes a lot of sense. It explains me. It explains me.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
Where do you want to start with the whole disc thing? And
yeah, I'd probably do the, you know, give folks who are just joining us maybe the very high level of disc, and then I guess we can dive into the specifics of the C personalities.
Yeah. All right. So disc was, just for a refresher for everybody, if you haven't listened to some of the other episodes, we've gone through this a little bit before, so you may need to fast forward like 30 or 40 seconds if you know, that kind of thing. Don't if you don't want to, if you want a reminder here. So the disc was a behavior assessment tool based on the theory from a psychologist, which kind of centers on four basic personality traits. Pretty much the high D is a dominant personality. The I is the influencer personality. The S is the steady personality. And the C is the conscientious personality. There's varying words that fit with each of these, but those are the primary ones that a lot of folks out there talk about. This was primarily developed into a behavioral assessment tool in the industrial psychology world to better understand what people are motivated by and why they do the things that they do. And so that's kind of why it's really important to understand DISC, because it's not just understanding why they do what they do, it's understanding how they buy and how they make decisions that makes a big impact on sales. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a high level for everybody that hasn't listened before. And on theslowpitch.com, we're going to have a link where you can look at a bunch of different DISC information so you can understand all that different elements that go into each one of those if you want to. And we'll have links to the other previous episodes as well. But let's dive into the C personalities, because I feel like that's where we're really going to get some good information about Lane and what he's all about, but also about this lady that you were dealing with, right? So let's, what do we think? Let's dig into the traits. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. C personalities love information. They just love it. They like to show off their They like to show off their expertise. In a sense, here's the funny thing. A C will show off their personality subtly by asking a question. They'll be like, well, why do we need to do that? Because they know, they may know, they don't really need to do that piece. So they'll ask the question just to make the other person know, hey, I understand. This is why we do this, but we really don't have to, do we? So if there's a motivation behind it, it could be, I don't want to do it. They can use it in that way too, right?
Yeah, I've done the whole, I'm just asking a question to ask a question.
Uh-huh.
And, I already know the answer, but
yeah, yes,
I'm guilty as charged.
Yes, yes. The other thing they like to do is be very accurate. And they like the stability of knowing, here's what's going on. This is all accurate information. There's nothing more frustrating to a high C personality than somebody who's presenting information that is, there's errors all the way through it, or it's built on a premise that doesn't make any sense. So if somebody's trying to sell something or talk to you as a high C, you're looking at it and going, well, that doesn't make sense. You're going to start poking holes in it. That's what a C does. The Cs, I think they should be called, instead of conscientious, they should be called hole pokers. That's what they should be calling. Because that's what they do. They love to challenge things. They like to be analytical. They like to look at things just in a different way to make sure that it's the right thing. It's accurate. They just want to make sure that it's accurate. What's weird is they're also very systematic. Like they have a process. They don't like to vary from their process. If this is the way they do things, then this is the way they do things. I'm sure, Lane, you probably are not this way, but I would assume you have a certain way that you like to, you know, put food in the pantry, or there's a certain way that you like to put things in the fridge so that it's organized in such a way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It drives everyone else in the house crazy too.
Yeah. And it's so that you know where to find it when you go back.
That's it.
Yeah. And you don't have to look, right?
It's very logical.
Very logical. Like if the ketchup's going to be in the door on the left, that's where I should find it every time, right?
That's it.
If you're living with a high I who says there's space there, I'll just put it there on the back shelf on the far right-hand side, guess who's never going to find it? The high C. But the I is going to look anywhere because that's what they do. So the system makes sense to the C. To others, it doesn't make as much sense, which is weird. To me, that's weird. I don't know. Maybe it's not as weird. But they can also overuse it too. So obviously with that example. That is a little bit of a weird thing that they try to, you know, overuse it a little bit more than they should. But the on the flip side of that, if they don't have all the data and all the information, they're not going to move on to the next step, or they're not going to move on to making a decision until they've figured out or know all the data that they need to know to make a decision. It's hard. They're not the kind of people that say, hey, I'm at 80%. Good enough. That's not good enough. No, not till you're about 98 or 99%. And the last 1 or 2% is just not findable unless you were working at NASA. Otherwise, it's not good enough, right? Yep. So I think that's I think where people don't understand C's, is that you need to make sure that when you're talking to them, that they're getting their questions answered. But there's a point of losing a sale because you're giving all the information away that you don't really need to be giving away. So you have to be a little careful. The other thing that C's tend to not do is acknowledge other people's feelings. They're a little bit, not aloof, but they're a little bit unaware of other people's feelings. They may be aware of their own in some way, but they're very much not in tune with other people's feelings and emotions. In fact, what's weird, and we'll get into that too a little bit in a little bit, but what type of workplace they fit into really well. Also, there's an emotional connection to that. High C's are really good at researching things. And they're also very much, and because they're researchers, they like to work by themselves. If they can get away with it, they would just assume, leave me alone, put me in my book, put me in my corner, let me read, let me do my computer work, whatever I need to do, but don't come in the room unless you have to. And I'm only leaving the room because I have to go to the bathroom. Otherwise, I'm not coming back out of the bathroom or out of the room. You know what I mean? So the other thing that C's do is they focus on what ifs. They do all these analysis on what's going to happen, kind of like run scenarios in their head. I've even seen C's, myself included, run a scenario based on price. What could happen if price varied by X, and then what do I need to do to make a decision so that I can make that purchase or not make that purchase? Yeah. Now, how crazy is that? But you start running those numbers and those scenarios, you go, okay, well, this would be good. Okay, I can do that. And finally, it's one of those things where somebody says, Rob, just make a decision already, would you? Like, it's okay. That's when I go, oh, okay, stop analyzing. So sometimes I forget that I need to stop analyzing and, oh, I got to make a decision here. Right. So, and then the other thing is they're good at solving problems. So they're the hole pokers. They can see where issues can come up. Lane, have you ever had this where you're talking to somebody and they're coming up with this great idea? And they're like, I have this idea. I think we should do this. And then you go in your back of your head, or you say it out loud, you go, that'll never work because.
Yeah. Because of A, B, C, D, E, and F. Yes.
And you say, pick one. And the other person goes, what are you talking about? That's not an issue. They don't see it. But yeah, you can see it. So it's, yep. And C's can be very creative because of that, because they can possibly invent things that will solve problems, because you're like, well, here, I can fix this and I can fix that. And all of a sudden now I've got this solution that's going to solve that problem. And I know that's going to help a lot of people. So there's some creativity that goes along with that too.
And they're usually very simple solutions.
Yes. At least
in my head.
Yeah, in
it's
your
very
head,
yes. Simple. Why do you not see this the way I do?
Yes. So think about too, if you're a high C, what kind of a job does a high C typically have? Think about engineers, think about, you know, software people, or even architects and you know, but a lot of engineers, admin, that type of thing, analysts, financial analysts. Oh, that's like heaven for high C's, you know? Oh man. All right. So, but how about on a team? So if you're working with somebody in a sale and they're part of a team, know that they're typically pretty loyal, but in a meeting setting, they'll be a little bit of an anchor in reality. So here's what I mean by that. Somebody goes off base from where you should be, that C might step up and go, hey, here's why that doesn't work. And we can do that, but here's what we need to do first, then second, then third, in order to get to that to happen. So there's a value in that. I mean, we joked earlier about, you know, that you come up with all these reasons why it won't work. But there's a huge value in a meeting, and even in a sales meeting, that if you're sitting there and they can't seem to solve the problem that they're running into, right. your conversation, yeah, that C may say, well, here's what we need to do for second, third, and then we can get to that next step, which is buying this product and doing this. Okay, yep. Now we know, right? So they'll help you get the sale if they see the value in that too. They're going to need some analysis that goes with that. One of the things I know is too, when they're on a team, they're typically pretty even tempered. They don't like to verbalize emotions or talk about their feelings. In fact, they're even the kind of people that when you're in a sale, you probably shouldn't touch them at all. I think when we talked about the I personality, you made the comment, I don't want people to touch me. Right. It's like,
yep.
Yeah. And that's a high C personality typically, is they don't like to be touched. So when you meet with this lady, or if you talk to this lady again, you have to know that you have to kind of be, you know, arm's length, and there's no, which I'm fine with.
Yep.
Yes. You'll fit in fine. What you guys have to be careful of as a high C is getting into all the details and getting into all the analysis and really dive in so far into that you don't get anything solved. So you have to be able to recognize, all right, we've gotten far enough. You should be able to make a decision now without saying those words. And so what might be a phrase that you could say, if you feel like you've gotten enough information for her that she should be able to make a decision, what might a phrase be that you could say?
I don't know. I would suppose maybe something along the lines of, you know, do you have the information you need to make a decision or make a choice?
Yes. Or even softening that just a hair more and saying, is there any other information that you think might be missing before you could decide? Because I know that this is a big decision. I know they are valuing or evaluating X, Y, Z and offsetting and balancing. Is there any other questions or any other information that come up that we should deal with first before we get to the point of even getting close to finding out how much this costs? And what that does is it makes them think, oh, there might be something else I'm missing. Maybe I should be asking more questions. And the more they feel like that, the more that you are in good shape, because they know that you know how important it is to get all the answers that they need to be able to make a decision. And that the focus is not about providing all the information. It's about making a decision and getting the information to make a decision. That's where you're going to. So when you start the meeting, you might start out with a conversation that's kind of like, I think we gave this as an example before, but listen, some people like really all the fine tooth details. And some people say, I don't want all the details. I want it from about a 30,000 feet level. Just give me the high points and let's move on. And that's how you're going to start to figure out which one these are. And if she says, I need as much detail as possible, okay, let's work through that, right? That's going to be part of that conversation, is always keeping in mind that they need the data and they need the information. They also have a lot of pride in doing things correctly. It's like they're perfectionist almost to a point of fault.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to admit that.
and the other part of that is it's funny because that kind of causes conflict in some respects, because it may make other people frustrated with that person with a high C. But then one of the things they don't like is conflict. C's don't like conflict much. It could be to a point of a weakness. But what they really like to do is just plan as much as possible. So a C, so let's kind of, since we've gone through a little bit of the traits of every one of them now, you know, let's just jump away for a second. If you think about if somebody was planning a trip, a high D personality planning a trip might look like what? What might a high D do to plan a trip?
A big D is going to. So the big D doesn't really, they're not necessarily worried about the fine details. They want to know that the things are going to be taken care of. Are we going to have fun? This is where we're going to go. Let's just get this done. Let's go. Let's buy the tickets. Let's get there.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying too is, if you boiled it down to the extreme stupidity level, right? A high D might say something like, oh, we're going on vacation. All right, let's go. And you're like, well, where are we going? I don't know. We're going on vacation. Okay. Are we going north, south, east, or west? Which way do you want to go?
We're just going. We're just going.
This is where we're going. Yeah. This is where. And so, that's what a high D would do. What about an I?
The eye's going to need all the details, and they're going to want to know what everyone thinks about what everyone think or what everyone is thinking about where you should go, and if you're going to enjoy it, and if you want this activity or that activity. Do you want the sunshine? Do you want the snow? Do you want this? Do you want that? And it's more important what everyone else wants to do rather than what they want to do.
In a sense, yes. And I think it's not as much of the detail side, but yes, all that other is like, they want to make sure that everybody's having a good time. They want to make sure they know that we're just going to have a good time. And it's all we, it's all us. It's everybody together. We're doing this. They plan it all together with everybody else. Where do you want to go today? Where do you want to go this day? Where do you want to eat? What kind of food do you like? What do you like? They're just like, that's the kind of, they're like planning details, but they're more about the people, not about the task of doing, getting it done. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So an S, what might an S sound like when they're planning a vacation?
I feel like the S would just be more like, all right, you know, plan it and I'll go along for the ride.
They might be more inclined to involve other people to make the decision or have everybody else plan it for them and go along with, yeah, let's have a good time.
Yeah.
So they're going to involve everybody, but really won't typically doesn't make all the decisions. They want to make sure everybody else is getting what they need. And then they'll go along with it. So, and then a high C, what's a high C look like when they're planning a vacation?
I plan every waking minute of the trip.
Do you know exactly where you're going to stop for a break?
No, I'm not that bad. I've had to tone it down a bit. You know, in the past I would have, you know, have it more planned than what I will these days. I've had to learn to go with the flow a little bit, but
all right. If you were to take a high C and say a vacation planning for a high C, but take it to the extreme, what would they do?
Oh, extreme amount of research.
Yes.
You're going to learn everything there is to know about where you're going. You're going to plan out each day where you're going to go, what you're going to do until everyone that's traveling with you is just sick of it.
Will they know at what time breakfast will be had?
Yes, absolutely.
Will there be a spreadsheet? To the extreme.
Yeah.
To the extreme, they would have a spreadsheet. How many books would they have checked out from the library to take along with them for research purposes?
At least half a dozen.
And would things be planned in terms of how many miles per gallon the car can get before we have to absolutely stop? But not too close because we're making sure that we don't run out of gas as well. Just there's room for variance. And by the way, the standard variation is 10 miles per gallon. You follow me? That's the extreme, right? Yep. So, all right. So I think that's a good exercise because if you think about it in terms of planning a vacation, now you understand how they're going to make decisions in sales. And that's how you need to address things. So the other thing to know about us high C is that their biggest fear is criticism. They don't like to be wrong. They don't like to be corrected by others. And they also don't like a really strong display of emotion. Meaning if somebody goes off the handle at them, mad at them, and takes it out on them, that is not a good scenario. The scenario is very poor after that. The high C will shut down. The high C will do a whole bunch of different things that everybody's going to be a little bit different based on their experience and what their upbringing was. But that criticism and that being like they're being called out for being wrong is very, very negative for a C. So the motivation on the flip side would be very peaceful situations, organized situations, anytime there's very few conflict involved. So I like to look at that as like, for me, it's like if I could live in a bubble, I would be very happy, right? So that's where they work the best is when they can do things that they need to do, have the routines that they want and know what's expected of them and just be happy by themselves a lot of times. Not always, but a lot of times they're happy by themselves. The other thing is to know is, we talked about before on the square of, if you Google what disc is on Google, you'll see in the image, there's a D in the high upper right-hand corner. The I is on the lower right-hand corner. The S is in the lower left-hand corner. And the C is on the upper left-hand corner. If you use that logic, the upper half of the square, the D and the C are task-oriented people, and the bottom half of the square, the S's and the I's, are people-focused people. So the people on the bottom, the S's and the I's, will tend to think about other people first before they think about getting the task or what people think or feel or that kind of thing. And then on the upper side, they think about how do I get this done in the most efficient manner and as fast as I possibly can. That's what their job is. To me, I think if I just summarize it from a strength standpoint, they're very goal-oriented. They love to analyze. Planning is key. They're kind of based in reality in a sense. And they're mostly serious people. I think when you talked in the beginning of this, Lane, she was very, very serious.
Yes.
High C's come across very serious. I have been accused several times of being very serious when they first meet me. And then afterwards they go, well, yo, I thought you were a lot more serious than you are, but that's because you just don't know me. Right. So
yeah. Yeah. That's a good point is, you know, I wouldn't have put two and two together that she was a C, just because I guess I don't look at you or I as necessarily super serious people, but when you put it into the perspective of a sales scenario, I can absolutely see how I would probably look at myself the same way as too. So,
yeah. And C's are guarded usually more so than anybody else. And visually and audibly, you can tell they're just guarded. You're not going to find out enough about me. I'm not letting you into my inner circle. You're not going to know what's going on in my head. You're not going to know any of that. I'm just going to make it look like I'm fine. And you're never going to know. And that's the hard part. So to me, that's on the weakness side, they don't think about other people's feelings. It's, they don't like to compromise a lot. They will, don't get me wrong, but they don't like to socialize. They don't like to, you know, deal with emotions. But on the flip side, it's a weakness and a strength is they can make very objective decisions. The weakness of that is if they have a team that works for them, or if they have family members that are part of their deal, then they forget about, hey, you need to think about the person's emotions and what they have about this situation, especially if you're dealing with, as a C, dealing with an I personality. So it's all about where you come from and where you're and what you're dealing with to be able to make the sale. So if you understand that you're a C and you're dealing with a C, you know exactly how to deal with that person. But if you're a C and you're dealing with an I, it's like talking to somebody in a different language. You don't even understand where they're coming from. That's the key to this whole thing.
Well, Rob, I don't want to go too far into this without considering your feelings. So are you feeling okay with how things are going this episode?
So far, so good. I mean, I don't like to tell you my feelings, so I'm just going to tell you I'm fine.
Well, fine then. Most people don't really know us, so they may not really be able to relate to that. So are there some other more well-known people you can point to that people might be able to understand who we are?
Yeah. When I looked it up, I had to think about who is that sounds like a C. And first person that I thought of off the top of my head was Bill Gates. When I looked up who's a C personality, Bill Gates came up as one of the primary ones. But then I also found Albert Einstein, which makes a whole heck of a lot of sense.
Totally makes sense.
And so is Stephen Hawking, which makes a lot of sense too, because, you know, he spends a lot of time thinking and going through equations. And
it just backs up that we're you and I are very brilliant.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's what I was just going to say, the same. Brilliant. Yes. So what I'm saying, I think, is exactly that. If you deal with a C, you're dealing with brilliance. Is that what we're trying to say?
Yeah.
Maybe not. So anyway, so those are some good examples, I think, that came up as high C personalities.
Okay. How does someone go about selling to you or I?
All right. So how you sell to them is not as difficult as it sounds. First of all, know your stuff. Be as detailed as you can in your answers. Obviously asking questions back so you understand the motivation to their questions, but even more so, ask a level of like, why is that an issue or why is that a problem? And, you know, why has it been happening, so that you can understand all the aspects. They may see things in the business or that they have that you don't understand. And the more that you can get them to explain it and have them walk you through all the things that they have done to fix their problem, in terms of a pain part for a sale, if you asking all those questions, what are all the things that you've done to fix this problem? You really get a good idea of how deep the problem is, what the issues are, and what they've done to fix the problem. So I think it's important to start asking those questions. And also, I think when you get down to it is, hey, why are we the right solution? Why do you think we should be helping you with this? Because it'll help you understand, and they may or may not tell you, they should tell you, if you ask it the right way, why do you think we should be the people to help you with this? And by asking that question, you're going to hear a detailed answer of reason A, B, C, D, and E. These are the reasons why. You've checked all these boxes already. This is why I want to work and do business with you already. They're going to tell you some of those things. And so you just have to not mess it up. Like if you do it right and show them that you can do all those things, you're not going to mess it up. You're not going to miss it. I think you have to be patient. I think you have to let them think. So if you do ask a question, and I've done this before, when I've asked a high C, I ask him a question and I think they don't understand the question. And so I start to try to explain myself and I'm cutting them off and I'm not letting them think. I'm doing myself a disservice. If I just shut up, ask the question, shut up. If they don't understand, they'll ask you, I don't understand what you mean. But if they do understand, they're thinking through their answer and giving you a detailed answer or an informative answer that will help you understand. So don't rush them. Just let them think through the question, get their answer together, and then let them say it. You have to make sure you're very open and honest. Don't hide anything. They'll read through anything. If you try to smoke screen them, they will read it fast. It's incredible how fast a C personality can read through a BSer. I can tell you that right now.
And then you're done. You are done. Yep.
And then you're done. Yeah. After that, they may sit there. They may not. They may call you out and say, I'm done with this conversation. You can leave now. But be careful about being too chatty, too touchy-feely. We talked about that a little bit. They don't usually like to be touched. Use data, facts, figures. Ask them to explain it from their perspective, from all directions. Bring up those different scenarios. Make them talk through all the things that they've already thought about, because I know they have. Stay on task. Remember sushi? You remember that episode when we talked about sushi person?
Yes.
Who was all over the place, right? And they kept, and they didn't want to, don't do that with them. Don't be the sushi person with a C, because you will never get them to focus and give you an answer or decide, because they've just written you off. They don't even want to listen to you anymore because you're all over the place. Be as organized as you can. And the other thing is you got to be careful. You can disagree with the facts, but you do not want to criticize them personally, go after them personally. Help them explain and give you the information you need, but do it in a nice way that they can feel comfortable. You're about quality. Stay within the facts. Don't try to show them something new that is beyond their understanding or that they've ever seen before, because they're skeptical. They're very skeptical individuals, and kind of rightly so, because they're good at seeing all the data and facts. They don't want to see the extra fluff and the shiny stuff. They don't necessarily care about that. If they do, they're going to find that on their own without you. They don't need you to show them that. They're going to find it. If they want to know about it, they'll find it. And also be careful of your word choice. You also need to think first and speak a little slower, not necessarily as slow as an S, but if you can slow it down, if you're talking to a D, that's a different scenario. You need to speed it up really fast and kind of stay right with them. But if you're dealing with a C, you may need to just slow it down, let them keep up with you, let them think, because while you're talking and you're slowing things down, they're thinking of more questions to ask. And that gives you the ability to answer that question with another question as well. And again, stay away from the personal stuff. They don't like personal stuff. So does that help with your call that you have coming?
Yeah, it really does help. It helps me realize both about myself and where this person's coming from. So I appreciate it, Rob.
All right, good deal. So my recommendation is, anybody listening, go to Crystal Knows, CrystalKnows.com. Learn about your personality type and what to look for in other personalities. To me, the first step is knowing what your personality is, because that's how you're coming across to other people. And if you understand that piece, then you'll know where the conflicts are when you're dealing with a different personality.
Thanks for listening today. We really appreciate it. If you're a C, we hope you found this episode useful and insightful. While we know we left out some data, there are links on theslowpitch.com where you can get more information. We hope you'll come back again for the next episode, and we know you're already thinking about why things are the way they are. Hopefully you'll find your way back. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Slow down and close more.